Alright, Shabbos, so we pick up Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Seven lines up from the bottom. Ubiprakim Shoel. So if you remember again, the Mishnah yesterday spoke about the idea in terms of interrupting in the middle of the paragraph, in between paragraphs and in the middle of the paragraph. So the Mishnah said the following. Beprakim, the first opinion of the Mishnah said, Beprakim, if you are in between paragraphs, shol mipnei akavod, you are permitted to go ahead and inquire about the welfare of someone whom you are obligated to honor, umeshiv, and you could return a greeting as well. So the Gemara says, meshiv machmas mai, who are you returning a greeting to? So the Gemara says, ilema mipnei akavod, if you want to say that it's returning to someone who you're obligated to honor, hashta mishal shal aduri mi boy, if you're permitted to inquire of the welfare of that individual, of course you're permitted to respond. Ela shol mipnei akavod, rather what the Mishnah means to say is, in between the paragraphs, you can inquire about the welfare of someone who you're obligated to honor. Umeishiv shalom l'chol adam, and you'd be permitted to return a greeting to any individual. So the Gemara says, ema seifa, but what about the end of the Mishnah? Ube'emtza, or the next case, ube'emtza shol mipnei ayira, umeishiv. If you're in the middle of a paragraph of Shema, you are permitted to go ahead and ask, inquire about the welfare of someone whom you fear, and you're permitted to return a greeting. Meshiv machmas mai, whose greeting are you returning? Ilema mipnei ayira, if you're saying it's someone you fear, hashta mishal shoil, if you're already permitted to inquire of their welfare, ask, aduri mi boy, then of course you're permitted to return the greeting. Ela mipnei hakavod. Rather, what it means is that in between the paragraphs, you are permitted to go ahead and return a greeting of someone in the middle of the paragraph, you are permitted to go ahead and return the greeting of someone whom you are obligated to honor. Hainu, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mishnah says, that reflects the same position. The Gemara says, well then that's synonymous with the position of Rabbi Yehuda. This man, Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda says, Be'emtza shom et nehayira, if you are in the middle of the paragraph, you're permitted to go ahead and inquire about the welfare of someone whom you fear, umeshiv mipnei hakavod, and you could return the greeting of someone whom you are obligated to honor, ubeprakim shoel mipnei hakavod, umeshiv shon l'chol adam. But in between paragraphs, you could inquire about the welfare of someone whom you're obligated to honor, and you could return a greeting to any individual. So the Gemara says, you're right. Chisuri mechzer v'hachi katoni. In reality, the Mishnah was missing certain information, and this is how the Mishnah is to be read. Beprakim, in between paragraphs, shol mipnei akavod, you could inquire about the welfare of someone whom you're obligated to honor, ve'tzorech lomar shum meshiv, and of course you're permitted to return the greeting. Ube'emtza, in the middle of the paragraph, shol mipnei ayira, you can inquire about the welfare of someone whom you're obligated to fear, ve'in tzorech lomar shuhu meshiv, and it goes without saying that you're permitted to return the greeting as well. Rabbi Yehuda says, Be'emtza, shol mipnei ayira. Rabbi Yehuda holds, in the middle of a paragraph, you can inquire about the welfare of someone whom you're obligated to honor, umeshiv mipnei akavod, and you can also return the greeting to an individual whom you're obligated to respect. Top of Yodalit, ubeprakim, in the middle of the paragraph, shol mipnei, excuse me, in between the paragraphs, in between paragraphs, shol mipnei akavod, umeshiv shalom l'chol adam. But in between paragraphs, you can inquire about the welfare of someone whom you're obligated to honor, and you could return a greeting to any individual. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi, a brisa that supports this, Hakori Eshma Upaga Bo Rabo Ogodol Himenu. If you're in the middle of reading Shema, and your Rebbe, or someone greater than you, you bump into them. So the Gemara says, Beprakim Shol Mipnei Akavod. If you are in between paragraphs, you are permitted to inquire about their welfare. Ve'in tzarech lomar shuhu meshiv. And of course, if they extend a greeting to you, you are permitted to respond. Ube'emtza, but in the middle of the paragraph, shol mipnei ayira, you can only inquire about the welfare of someone whom you're obligated to revere. Ve'in tzarech lomar shuhu meshiv. And of course, it goes without saying that you're permitted to respond if they greet you. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, Be'emtza, shol mipnei ayira, umeshiv mipnei hakavod. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if you're in the middle of a paragraph, you can inquire of the welfare of someone whom you're obligated to fear, and you could return a greeting to someone whom you're obligated to honor. Ubeprakim, and in between paragraphs, shol mipnei hakavod, you could inquire of the welfare of someone whom you're obligated to respect, umeishu shalom l'chol adam, and you can return a greeting to every individual. So we'll say this is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. Boy mine. Boy, Gary, have a Gemara? You have a Gemara? Just pass on. Gary. the handsome guy in the bench over there. Right. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Tani debei Rabbi Chiya. Tani debei Rabbi Chiya. Excuse me. Ba'im mine achi. Achi tani debei Rabbi Chiya. Me Rabbi Chiya. So Achi, who was one of was a Tana in the yeshiva Rabbi Chiya, answered Rabbi Chiya. It was an interesting discussion. Bahalel ube Megillah, mahu sheyafsik. Are you permitted to go ahead and interrupt in the middle of Halal and Megillah? Meaning the Mishnah was speaking about interruptions in Shema. What is the law regarding interruptions in the middle of Halal and Megillah? Okay, so the Gemara says, mahu sheyafsik. So the Gemara says, well, Amrina Kavachomer. We can make a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Kriya Shema da'oraisa posek halal drabonon miboy. So one, and you could say, look, if there are allowances for interruptions in Shema, which is da'oraisa, so halal and Megillah, which are drabonon, of course you can. O dilma, or perhaps persume nisa adif, or perhaps halal and Megillah are different because there's an element of persume nisa. There's an element of publicity of the miracle. So Amar Le Rabbi Chiya responded, posek. So Rabbi Chiya responded that you are permitted to go ahead and interrupt. Now this notion of in bekach klum, there's nothing to it, is quite fascinating as well. He's not coming to say that you could interrupt and there's absolutely no problem. We'll discuss what that means. Amar Rabba. So Rabbi says, Yomim shayochid gomer bohenes ahalel. So on days where the individual finishes Halal. Now, that refers to days in which you recite Halal Sholem. So Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Erechin that says, at least in Chutz La'aretz, there are 21 days that we finish Halal. There are 9 days of Sukkis, right? There are 8 days of Hanukkah. There are first 2 days of Pesach, and first 2 days or 2 days of Shavuos. Right, so those are our days in Chutz Laaretz. In Eretz Yisrael, of course, it's less. But those are the days in which we recite a Halal Sholem, a complete Halal. So the Gemara says, Yomim Shayochid Gor Behenes HaHalal, on days where you say a Halal Sholem, Bein Perek LeParek Posek. In between paragraphs, you are permitted to go ahead and make a Hefsek. Be'emtza HaParek Eina Posek. In the middle of the paragraph, you may not make a Hefsek. I will say, the idea of days that you finish the Halal, when you say days that you say Halal Shalim are days on which there is a mandated Halal, versus days where there's only a Chatzi Halal are days on which the recitation of Halal is simply a minog. So for example, on Rosh Chodesh, the constant saying Halal Rosh Chodesh is much more by minhag. That's why we only say, we'll make a bracha regardless, but Halal Chalamayis, as opposed to Halal on Yomim Tovim, where Halal is mandated. So the Gemara goes on. So therefore, Yom Shayach Gomer and Sahalal, days in which we recite a complete Halal, Bein Perek LeParek Posek. In between paragraphs, you can interrupt. Be'emtza HaParek Eino Posek. In the middle of a paragraph, you may not interrupt. V'yomim she'ein hayochid gomer behenes ha'halel, but days on which we do not recite a complete halel, afilu be'emtza ha'perek posek. You can even interrupt in the middle of a paragraph. Again, the Gemara is not advocating that. The Gemara is not saying you should interrupt in the middle of a paragraph. What the Gemara is trying to show, however, is that on the chatzi halel has less of a standing than a halel sholem, and therefore, aloch l'maisa, you could even interrupt for need, for some type of need, in the middle of the paragraph. Ini, is that true? V'ha Rav Bar Shva Iklo Legabe Diravina. But Rav Bar Shva once came to Ravina, V'yamim She'in Hayochid Gomer V'Sahalel Hava. And he came to Ravina on one of the days where Halel is not completed. Alright, so to make it easy, he came to Man Rosh Chodesh, right? V'lo Pasikle. And Ravina did not interrupt his Halel to go ahead and greet Rav Bar Shva. So you see, so the Gemara is bringing this up to show that even on days where you don't complete the Halal, you still shouldn't interrupt in the middle. To which the Gemara says, that's not a good raya. Shani Rav Bar Shva de lo chashev alei de Ravina. Well, that's not a good raya because Ravina didn't hold Rav Bar Shva in such high regard. No, he's just saying, even if you're going to interrupt, you don't interrupt for everyone. So Rav Bar Shva was not interruption worthy in the middle of Ravina's Halal. Boy mine Ashion Tana de Rabbi Ami Rabbi Ami. So Ashion, Itano in the Shiva of Rabbi Ami, asked the following question from Rabbi Ami. Hasharui, this is fascinating, Shalabosai. Hasharui Bitainis Mao She Yit Om. So here's the interesting question. If you are in the middle of a fast, are you permitted to taste? So Rashi points out, what does that mean? Mao She Yit Om? As Hatafshil Ladas in Tsarech Melach o tavlin. So on a fast day, you are permitted to prepare food, right? But the question becomes, are you permitted to go ahead and taste of the food that you are preparing for the purpose of seeing if it needs additional salt, additional spices? So the Gemara says, well, on one hand you could say, achila ushtia kabilale vahaleka. On one hand, you could say, well, what's a fast day? A fast day is a day in which you accept upon yourself not to eat or drink. And the truth is, this little tasting is not eating or drinking. It doesn't constitute active eating or drinking. O dilma hanoa kabila le v'ha'ika. On the other hand, you could say, maybe what you prohibited upon yourself on a fast day is hanoa benefit. And the truth is, there is some level of taste benefit when a person tastes even just a little bit. Amar le, sorry, Rabbi Ami responded, to'im ve'ein bekach klum. You are permitted to taste, and there is no problem. Tanya Mihachi Braisa that supports this, Mita'emes Eina Tu'una Bracha. That if you taste something, you just take a little taste of something, right, for this purpose, of seeing if it needs ingredients, you are not obligated to make a bracha. V'hasharui b'tainis to'im ve'in b'kach klum. Similarly, if one is fasting, one could taste a little bit of food to see if it needs additional spices, and there's no problem. Ad kama, how much can you taste? Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Tami, Ad Shir Riviyasa. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi said, until the Riviyas. Now, Rabosai, Tosos on the bottom, just very quickly, Tosos, Toim Ve'im B'kach Klum, take a quick look at it, very quick look. He writes, second last Tosos, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel. What is this case of tasting? Shechozer Upolate. What's the case of tasting over here? Where you are not swallowing. The case of tasting is you taste it on your tongue, you taste it on your palate, and then you spit it back out. Therefore, Delo Chashiv Hanah Minatima. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, that's what the Gemara means when it says that there's no benefit simply from tasting. Ava boleya lo afilu b'shar tanios umishum hachi apolate inotzarech bracha shenonera. We'll say, so says Rabbeinu Chananel, when the Gemara says that you could taste on a fast day, and that when you taste you don't need a bracha, what kind of tasting is that? You put it on your tongue and you're not swallowing anything. But the moment that you begin to swallow something, that constitutes an act of achila, that constitutes an act of consumption, and therefore, aloch l'maisa, A, you would not be permitted to do that on a fast day, and B, you would have to make a bracha prior to doing that. Vajra ni gimara. Amarav, kolanosin shom lechaveiro kodim shiyispalel ki'ilu aso bama. If you go ahead and you give shalom to your friend before you daven, it's as if you have made your friend into an illegal altar, a bama. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says in Yeshaya, chidlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama ba'apo kivameh nechshav hu. So the Navi Yeshaya says, literally, distance yourself from man whose soul is in his nostrils, because what is he worth? So the Gemara Darshan's over here. It says, Al tikri bameh ela bama. Right? So don't read it bameh, read it bama. Or in other words, what the Gemara is Darshan over here is that when you go ahead and you put yourself close to your friend before you put yourself close to God, you greet him first, you have made him into a bama. Rashi points out, Chidu lachem in ha'adam, kishyesh lachem la'asok b'kavod ha'makom, al tis'asku b'kavod adam. So the Gemara is Darshan, when you should be occupied with the kavod of God, distance yourself from the kavod of man. Because if you deal first with the kavod of man before the kavod of God, you've made man into a bama. So the Gemara goes on, massive. Okay. And Shmuel darshans, it means why have you given this person importance and not importance to your God? Massive Rav Sheshes, but Rav Sheshes raises a contradiction. So Rav Sheshes says, but one second, we just got finished talking about the idea that even in the middle of the paragraphs, in between the paragraphs, what are you permitted to do? You're permitted to go ahead and respond to your friend's greeting. So here you are, here you're what? Here you're literally in the middle of Shema, and yet you see the halacha allows for some type of greeting. So all the more so, we would think that one would be permitted to go ahead and greet an individual before davening as well. To which the Gemara says, Tir Gemara Rabbi Abba, b'mashkim lepischo. Rabbi Abba says, no, 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 what's the case? The case is mashkim lepischo literally means you're going ahead and rising extra early to go out of your way to greet him. So when does the Gemara dash in that pasuk in Yeshaya to say that it's not appropriate to greet your friend before davening? That's when you make it your business to go to his house before davening. The first thing the Jew should do upon waking in the morning is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not anything else. So if I go out of my way to go greet him first thing in the morning, I made him into a bama. If it happens to be, I bump into him and I give him a shalom aleichem, or I have to respond to the middle of the Shema, That is not problematic. The Gemara goes on. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Kala Ose Chafetza Kodim Sheispala Kilu Bana Bama. Whoever takes care of his own needs before davening, it's as if he has built a Bama. Amar Le Bama Amarta? Excuse me. Actually, we can skip these parentheses altogether. Go ask the parentheses to both sides. Amar Rav Idi Bar Avin Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ashiyan. This is the regular gears of the Gemara. So, Rav Idi Bar Avin said in Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ashiyan, it is prohibited for a person to take care of their own needs before davening. So, we'll say, what is this talking about? This is talking about, contemporarily, a person shouldn't start checking their email, right? Eating is a different issue. We'll discuss eating later on, right? But a person not supposed, don't check your email. Don't read the paper. Don't start on your business. A person should not be taking care of their own needs before they daven. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, Tzedek lefanav yehalech v'yasem lederech pa'amov. So it's interesting how the Gemara darshins this. So Tzedek, Rashi points out, Tfila shematzdiko leboro v'hadar v'yasem pa'amov lederechei chafetzav. So the way the Gemara darshins is like this. Tzedek lefanav yehalech. The first thing you should put in front of you during the day is what? Is tzedek. Is righteousness. Rashi says righteousness is an allusion to prayer, is a reference to prayer. So the first thing you should put in front of you during the day is tzedek. And then after tzedek, after tefillah is in front of you, the yasim lederech pa'amav, then your steps will be solid. So first put tzedek, first put tefillah in front of you, and then after tefillah is in front of you, you can do everything else you need to do. V'amar av idi bar avin amar av yitzchak bar ashiyan, kol ha-mispalel v'achrakach yotzi lederech, whoever davens first, and then goes out. Then goes out on his way. Now, going out on his way could literally mean a journey, but going out on his way could also mean just taking care of one's business or all one's worldly needs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Lo Chafetzav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and takes care of his needs. Shene Emar Tzedek Lefanav Yaloch V'yasim Lederech Pa'amov. So we'll say, I see I got a couple of nervous glances with that email comment. Obviously, some people need to, right? Some people have serious tzrachim. Unfortunately, we live in a world where many people are on, even before Mesiyas Yesharim starts. So obviously, if there's an acute need, a person has to do it for the sake of their business, then of course one is permitted to do it. But the point the Gemara is saying are the things that don't have to be done to whatever degree possible. A person could first put the tzedek in their life, and then afterwards do everything else. A person should try. Am Rabbi Yonah, Am Rabbi Zeira. Kal halan shivas yamin b'lo chalom nikra ra. So Rabbi Yonah said the name Rabbi Zeira. Whoever sleeps for 7 days without a dream is called ra, is called evil. Shene emar. Now, Bosa, you're going to see the last parak of Brachos is going to be very much occupied with dreams. So we're not going to get too into this now. There's a whole major discussion. Are dreams important? Are dreams not important? Do they have meaning, not have meaning? We'll get to that. But for now, we'll just read this statement. Whoever sleeps 7 days without a dream is called Rosh. Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Visaveya Yalin Bali Pakid Ra. So again, another drasha of the Pasuk. Literally, Visaveya Yalin, he'll go to sleep satiated without any fear of evil. So the Gemara says, Al Tikri Saveya Ela Sheva. Don't read it seated, rather read it seven. So ultimately, a person who goes to sleep for 7 days, right, and has a dream, he doesn't have to worry about anything bad. The converse is true also. If a person sleeps without 7 days and doesn't dream, that's a bad omen. The Gemara here is clearly echoing the approach that dreams represent some level of communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person, person goes dreamless for 7 days, represents some level of separation from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Rabbi Yochanan dashed the pasuk differently. Anyone who satiates himself from words of Torah and goes to sleep, which is another way of saying that anyone who goes to sleep with Torah on his mind. So we'll say, if you remember again, well actually, you're not going to remember because we didn't do it yet. In the fourth parak, we'll discuss that part of the reason for Kriya Shema Alamita. One of the reasons we say Shema before we go to bed. So the classic reason that everybody knows is Mipnei Amazikin, because of whatever some negative forces that exist at night. But there's a simpler approach. The simpler approach is that Chazal wanted me to go to sleep with Torah on my mind. So how do you make me go to sleep with Torah on my mind? I say Kriya Shema right before I go to sleep. So that's the Gemara saying over here, that someone who goes to sleep satiated with Torah, Mevasrin also besos rose. He doesn't get any negative tidings. Shne'emar v'saveya yelin b'ayi pakedra. If you go to sleep satiated with Torah, nothing bad will happen. Eilu hin bein aprakim. Amr Rabbi Avo, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, the Amr bein Elokeichem le'emes v'yatziv lo yafsik. So Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the Rabbi Yehuda said this in the Mishnah, that a person, as much as we spoke about in between the paragraphs, a person should not interrupt between Hashem Elokeichem and MS. Even though, remember, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, right? Ultimately, that pasuk ends, and MS is beginning a new paragraph. We should not interrupt between this. So, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, MS. Hashem Elokeichem, MS. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why shouldn't you interrupt between Hashem Elokeichem and MS? So, Dichsiv, on the base, Dichsiv, Vashem Elokim, MS. Okay. Very simply, because there's a pasuk like that, even though, remember, this pasuk is from Yirmiyahu. That's not the pasuk that's being quoted in Kriya Shema. Despite that, because we find that phraseology together, you shouldn't break it up. So we'll say now the interesting question is, Chozer va'omer emes, o eino chozer va'omer emes. So now, what I've essentially done is, I've taken the emes from the first bracha after Shema, and juxtaposed it to the last paragraph in Shema. So what's the shayla? The shayla now is, when I begin the first bracha after Shema, should I repeat the word emes or not? Should I repeat the word MS? Am Rabbi Avo, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Chozer Va'omer MS. So right, Rabbi Avo holds, yes, you go back and repeat. Va'omer Rabba Omer, Eino Chozer Va'omer MS. Rabba says, no, you don't have to go back and repeat MS. Ha'hu dinochis kamei di Rabba. There was a particular individual who was in front of Rabba. Shamei Rabba do Omer MS, MS trezimni. And Rabba heard that he said MS, MS twice, meaning so he said MS at the end of the third paragraph of Shema, and he repeated the MS again when he started the bracha after Shema. So Amar Rabba, Rabba said, call MS ve'MS tafsi lahai. So a stream of MS has taken hold of this individual. Rashi says, call MS ve'MS tafsi lahai. Rihata shall MS tafastula say. He's having an MS seizure. You know, he's mamish, he's just MS. So this obviously this wasn't a compliment, right? Rabba ultimately felt that he wasn't doing the right thing. So we'll say halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? So the truth is, when we're citing our own Shema, a person does not have to go back and say MS. They just begin with V'yatziv. But when the Shliach Tzibur goes ahead and says it out loud, remember, he, even if he finished off his Shema, when he ends it off for the Tzibur, does say again, MS. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Yosef, Kama Ma'al Yehoshmaisa. See how beautiful this teaching is. Dechi Aser of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar, Amri B'Ma'arava, Arvis, Daber El B'nei Yisrael, V'Amarta. I'm sorry. I just skipped over a little bit. Take a look at Rashi, excuse me. Hosh maite derav Shmuel bar Yehuda amri b'ma'arava. Kriya Shema shel Arvis ein korin ba parshas tzitzis kula lefi she'ein ba mitzvas tzitzis balayla. Ava maschilin oso umafsikin ba umedalgin ba omer ani Hashem Elokeichem. So we'll say, now we're switching gears for just a moment. Now we're going to talk about Ma'ariv. So the Gemara says like this. Rav Yosef said, see how beautiful this teaching is. Dechi aser Rav Shlomo Bar Yehuda. Rav Shlomo Bar Yehuda came along. Amar, he said, Amri b'ma'arava, in Eretz Yisrael, Arvis, during Ma'ariv, we do the following. For the third paragraph of Shema, as I'll say, remember, the third paragraph of Shema is an interesting thing because the major topic of the third paragraph is Mitzvah Tzitzis. Mitzvah Tzitzis does not apply at night. So what did they do in Eretz Yisrael? They did the following. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, they went ahead and they said the first line, Dabra al b'nei Yisrael, va'amarta aleihem, and say to them, and they skipped the rest of the paragraph and concluded with the last statement, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. So in Eretz Yisrael, they cut out the whole middle chunk of the paragraph, simply used the first pasuk and the last pasuk. That was Kriya Shema. All right, Amar li Abaye. So Abaye said, my mal yusa, what is so good about that? Rav Kahana said in the name of Rav that for Ma'ariv you should not begin the third paragraph of Shema, because since the third paragraph of Shema ultimately is what is Mitzvah Tzitzis, and Tzitzis doesn't apply at night, don't even begin it. However, v'im hischil Gomer. But if you began it, then what? Then you have to finish it. So the Gemara. So what Rav Kahana is coming along and saying is, I don't understand the practice of Eretz Yisrael because Manoshach. If you don't want to say the paragraph, leave it totally out. But if you're going to begin it, then you have to finish it off. So how can Eretz Yisrael? They just take the first pasuk and last pasuk. V'chi teima va'amarta aleim lo havi haschala. So maybe you'll say that first phrase of Daber al b'nei Yisrael va'amarta aleim is not considered to be the beginning of the paragraph. Why? Because it's right, it's introduction. You haven't really gotten to anything substantive in the paragraph yet, so you can go ahead and you could say it, but even if you started it, you don't have to complete the paragraph. V'ha'amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, lo havi haschala, va'amarta aleihem, havi haschala. Say nachinami, people, and you could get some agreement with that Daber al b'nei Yisrael is not a beginning, but everyone seems to agree that what? V'amarta aleihem is a beginning. If that's the case in Eretz Yisrael, once they have said V'amarta aleihem, they should have to finish off the paragraph. Amar Rav Papa, Kasavri b'ma'arova, va'amarta aleihem, nami lo havi haschala, ad da'amar va'asulohem tzitzis. Because in Eretz Yisrael they feel that the Amarta Aleihem is also not the beginning. When is the beginning? When they say the statement of va'asulohem tzitzis. They'll make tzitzis. Amar Abaye, hilchach anan aschule maschalinon. Therefore, we go ahead and begin, right? Aschule maschalinon. Hilchach anan aschuli maschalinon dekamaschali b'ma'arova v'chivan de aschalinon migmar nami gamrinon. So the Gemara says, Abaye says, therefore we consider this a beginning, and since we consider this a beginning, we also finish off the paragraph. Daha amarav kahana amarav lo yaschil v'im hischil gomer. Because Rav Kahana said in the name of Rav that you don't have to start it, but if you did start it, then halacha l'maisa, what? You have to finish it off. The Gemara goes on. Chia barav amar. Chia barav. So both sides. So just so you know, obviously the halacha l'maisa is we say the entire third paragraph of Kriyat Shema precisely for this reason, because since once we're doing part of it, we reject this notion of Eretz Yisrael that the amar talim is not the beginning. It is the beginning, and therefore halacha l'maisa we say the whole paragraph. Chia barav amar. Chiyabarav said, Chiyabarav Amar, Amar ani Hashem Elokeichem, tzarech lomar emes. Lo Amar ani Hashem Elokeichem, eino tzarech lomar emes. So Paul said, take a look at Rashi. Amar ani Hashem Elokeichem, dahainu parshas tzitzis. Right, so if you said ani Hashem Elokeichem, you have to, right, then you have to say tzarech lomar emes, kidichsiv, v'Hashem Elokim emes. So here's what's interesting about this, Paul says. So now we're transitioning a little bit. So this is quite fascinating. So if Chiya Barav says like this, if you say the last paragraph of Shema, the parasha of Tzitzis, then that by definition obligates you to say what? Right? The bracha afterwards. Right? For Mayim would be MSV Amuna, right? Or MSV Yatziv. But if you don't go ahead and say the third paragraph of Shema, then you're not obligated to say the bracha afterwards. Now what's his logic? His logic is because since we're juxtaposing Ani Hashem Elokeichem and MS, so once you say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, you have to say MS. Once you say MS, you have to say the bracha. If you're not saying Ani Hashem Elokeichem because you're omitting the third paragraph, you don't have to juxtapose it to MS, and therefore you don't have to say the bracha after Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, I'm sorry? The paragraph afterwards, which is the bracha. Correct. So the Gemara says like this. What are you talking about? V'ha boi la'ad kure yitzias mitzrayim. But I don't understand something. Meaning, how can you not go ahead and say the bracha of emes, right, the after bracha? Are you not obligated to make some mention of the Exodus? See, the problem is, if you're not reciting the third paragraph of Shema, then you need some other mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we know that the Birchov's Kriya Shema afterwards, right, after Shema, also have a reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So if you omit both, using this logic, if you don't say the third paragraph of Shema, you also don't have to say the bracha afterwards, then where is your reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim? The Amar Hachi, because Rav, I keep forgetting who's saying this, because Rav says like this, if you don't say the two paragraphs of Shema, you have another formulation for Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Amar Hachi, Moldim Anachnu Lecha Hashem Elokeinu, Shehotzeisanu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, ufidisonu mi beis avodim va'asisa lanu nisim ugvuros alayam v'sharnu locha. So the answer is because if you don't end up saying the two paragraphs of Shema, they have this special modim, this special formulation that essentially thanks God for going and taking us out of Egypt. What the logic of saying this modim would be as opposed to just saying Shema, I'm not sure, but apparently they had this particular formulation in those locales where the custom was not to say Parshas Tzitzis by Maariv. Okay. So no real halacha for Lemaisa for us in that particular section, because obviously we're saying all three parshas of Kriyas Shema and Birchos Kriyas Shema by Maariv as well. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, Lama Kidma Parsha Shema. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha says like this. If you remember again in the Mishnah, so Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha tried to explain the logic of the order of Shema. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha said, we begin with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why? That's Kabbalas Omach Hushamayim, acceptance of the yoke of heaven. After that is Vahayayim Shema, which represents what? All mitzvos. And then afterwards, Vayomer, which was what? Right? Mitzvah Tzitzis. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha in the Mishnah said, he said in the Mishnah that the reason why Vayayim Shema precedes Parsha Tzitzis is because Vayayim Shema, which contains a reference to Talmud Torah, learning Torah, applies by day and by night, versus Parsha Tzitzis, which only applies by day and not by night. So the Gemara says like this, Tanya Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, Betinu Shiyaktim Shema Levayayim Shema, Shazel Lilmod Vezel Lamed. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai said, Shema should come before Vayayim Shema. Why? Because Shema, remember when we say Shema, Shema includes Shema and V'yahavta. So Shema and V'yahavta speak about the mitzvah to learn, versus Vayayim Shema, which is about the mitzvah to teach. So a person first has to learn before they have the ability to teach. Vayayim Shema levayomer. So Vayayim Shema. Vayayim Shema should come before Vayomer. Why? Shezeh lilmot v'zeh lasos. Because Vayayim Shema teaches the idea. Vayayim Shema discusses the idea of also has learning, and ultimately Vayomer has doing. So learning should come before doing. So the Gemara says, well, let's get this straight. Atu Shema lilmot isbe lilamed v'lasos lesbe. Are you telling me that Shema and Vayayim Shema that Shema and V'yahavta only discusses learning, but does not discuss teaching and doing? V'haksiv v'shinantam ukshartam uksavtam. Right? But yet, in V'yahavta, what does it talk about? It talks about, number one, you should teach your children. V'shinantam levanecha. So again, it talks about not only learning, but it talks about teaching. And it speaks about the mitzvah of tzitzis and mitzvah of mezuzah. So it speaks about doing. So in V'yahavta is contained everything. You have learning, you have teaching, you have doing. V'su, v'ayayim shamoa, lelamed hu de'isbe, v'la'asos lesbe. Furthermore, are you telling me that in v'ayayim shamoa it only talks about teaching, but doesn't talk about doing? Haksiv ukshartim uksavtem. Same thing. V'ayayim shamoa also teaches about asiya, also teaches about doing, specifically tzitzis and mezuzah. Elohochi koma, rather, this is what it means to say. Bidinhu shetakdim shma levayayim shamoa, shezeh lilmod ulelamed v'la'asos. Shema and V'yahavta come first. Why? Because contained in Shema and V'yahavta is what? The obligation to learn, the obligation to teach, and the obligation to do. V'hayayim Shema levayomer. V'hayayim Shema should come before Vayomer. Why? Shezeh yeshba lelameit v'la'asos. So V'hayayim Shema only has two of the elements of teaching and doing. But Vayomer ein ba ela la'asos bilvad. Vayomer only has what? Only as lasos, only as the mitzvah tzitzis, which is the mitzvah to do. So again, Rabbi Yosai, so according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is amazing. The progression of Shema is like this. Shema and V'yahavta come first because it contains all three elements of learning, teaching, doing. Vayayim Shema is next because it contains the elements of teaching, doing. Vayomer last because it only contains the element of doing. Asiyas HaMitzvos. So Gemara says, one second. V'sifu Limud Rabbi Shimon Bar Karcha. So I don't understand. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Yochai, why are you reinventing the wheel? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha already told us in the Mishnah why we have the order of Shema. Right? According to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, remember, Shema comes first because Kabbalas Ol Machu Shemayim, then Vayayim Shema Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, and then Vayomer, because Vayomer only applies by day, versus Vayayim Shema, which applies by day and by night. So the Gemara says, you're right. Chada Va'od Ka'amar. In reality, what the Gemara is saying is, this is one reason, And there are additional reasons as well. Kadesh Chada, Kadesh Yikabel Alav Ol Malchus Shaim Tchila, V'Acher Kach Yikabel Alav Ol Mitzvos. So, first reason is what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha said. Compelling reason. Ol Malchus Shamayim, then Ol Mitzvos, and then Vayomer comes last because it only applies by day. V'od Mishum De'isbe Hani Mili Achrenaisa. And furthermore, if you want another reason for the order, we look at the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because we have again Shman Vahafta has again Lilmod Lilamed Lasos, Vayaim Shamoa has Lilamed Velasos, Vayomer Jest Velasos. Rav, Mashia David Kari Kriyashma Va'anach Tvilin Vitzali. So Rav's order in the morning was the following. He would go ahead, he would wash his hands, read Shema, and after reading Shema, he would go ahead and put on his tefillin, right? And then after putting on his tefillin, he would daven Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara says, one second, the hechi ovid hachi, how is he able to conduct himself this way? V'hatani, we learned, ha'chofer koch lemes. Bekever. If one is digging out, kuch literally means a hole. So the way it works, remember, actually you can see this, in right by the kever of Shimon HaTzadik, right? They have this kever that they call the kever of the Sanhedrin HaKaton, right? Which was a mass burial cave. So the way it used to work is they'd have these caves, they would put a body on a slab of stone, they'd wait for the body to decompose, and they would go ahead and take the bones and bury the bones in a familial plot. Remember, in Eretz Yisrael, space has always been at a premium. So the truth is, in times that they would not use up all the space to bury whole bodies. It takes up a lot less space to bury bones than it does to bury bodies. So that's why the Gemara talks about this idea of likut atzamos, this idea when you collected the bones of your parents. So the Gemara says that day was like a day of Shiva. So likut atzamos was whatever after a certain. So the Gemara says if somebody is burying a koch, so digging a koch. So a koch was this, I don't know if there's a better word for it than a hole, but the koch was this place where they would leave the body to decompose until they would collect the bones. So somebody was digging a koch, potter mi kriya shema. You don't have to say shema. Umina tfila, umina tfilin, umikomis samurz batorah. In other words, osik b'mitzvah, potter mina mitzvah. You're busy digging a grave. You are exempted from all mitzvos. Higiyaz man kriya shema, but if the time for kriya shema came, ola v'notal yadav, you should come out of the grave, wash your hands, put on tefillin, read Shema, and daven Shmona Esrei. So what are you talking about? Hagufa kashi, just contradicted yourself. Reisha amar potter, the seifa chayiv. So the Gemara says, I don't think you just said that if you're digging a grave, you're potter. And now you're telling me that it comes as a man of kriya shema, you should come out of the grave and daven. So the Gemara says, lo kashia, seifa betray, v'reisha bechad. No. The end of the Mishnah is talking about where what? There are two people digging the grave. So what do? When the Zman Kriya Shema comes, you alternate. One guy keeps working, and the other guy goes to daven. When the other guy finishes davening, he goes back in. The other guy comes out and davens. But I will say, we don't really care about digging the grave. What do we care about? We care about the order that this Brisa stated. What did the Brisa say? You come out of the grave, and what do? You wash your hands, you put on tefillin, you say Shema, and you daven Shemona Esrei. So that is the proper order of tefillah. So the Gemara says, Kasha and Rav. Because what was Rav doing? Rav was washing his hands, that's fine. But he reversed the order. He was first saying Shema, then putting on tefillin, and then davening. Why wasn't he putting on tefillin at the beginning? So the Gemara says, Lo Kash, I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, Miko Gumakum Kashi L'Rav. It's Kasha and Rav. So the Gemara answers, Rav, Kerav Yoshua ben Karcha Svirle. It's not a Kasha. Rav holds the Kerav Yoshua ben Karcha. The Omer Ol Malchus Shamayim Tchila, the Achar Kach Ol Mitzvos. So Rav will say, Rav Yoshua ben Karcha uses apparently the Shema paradigm as a paradigm for the order of mitzvos in the morning as well. That the first thing you should do in the day is accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven. So according to Rav Shimon ben Karcha, the first thing you do is you say Kriya Shema. After you say Kriya Shema, then what? Then you can take upon yourself, after you were Mekaba Ol Malchus Shemayim, then you can be Mekaba Ol Mitzvos. So according to Rav Shimon ben Karcha, you would go ahead and first say Shema, and then only afterwards would you what? Put on tefillin. So the Gemara suggests that to Rav Shimon ben Karcha, Rav holds like Rav Yishuv ben Karcha. So the Gemara says, Eimar, da Amar Rav Yishuv ben Karcha, lahatim kriya lakriya, kriya la'asiya misham islay. So one second. When did Rav Yishuv espouse that idea? When ordering the paragraphs of Shema. So that's what Rav Yishuv ben Karcha says. You should say Shema first. Shema is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, v'yeh hafta, because that's Kabbalah's Amachshra, except the yoke of heaven. And then afterwards, v'hayayim Shema, because that talks about mitzvos. But who says that Rav Yishuv ben Karcha would actually say that in terms of the order of the morning? Meaning it's quite possible that Rav Yishuv ben Karcha still holds that what should you do first in the morning? Put on your tefillin. And then for the Shema, we have this particular order. Vesu, mi savaleik Rav Yishuv ben Karcha. And furthermore, do we pass Rav Yishuv ben Karcha? V'om Rav Chiya bar Aravashi, zimnin sagin hava ka'im la kamei derav. There were many times that I was in front of Rav. Umakdim umashi yadei. Thank you. Umakdim umashi yadei. He would go ahead and wash his hands. Umivarech, and he would say Berachas HaTorah. Umasni lon pirkin. He would teach us shir. Umanach tefillin. He would put on tefillin. Vahadar karikyesh, and then he would daven Shema. So the Gemara says, now the question has just become compounded. Why? Because now we seem to have conflicting practices in Rav. Right before, the Gemara started out by telling us that while Rav would go ahead and wash his hands, reach Shema, and then put on tefillin. Now the Gemara has testimony. Right? Rav Chiya bar Ashi is saying, I was in shir with Rav so many times. And what happened? He'd get up in the morning, he'd wash his hands, say Birchas HaTorah, give us shir, and then he'd put on tefillin, and then he'd daven. So which one is it, Rav? So the Gemara says, So maybe the earlier case where Rav went ahead and where Rav Chiya says that Rav first put on his tefillin and then what? And then said Kriyashma, maybe that was a case of where it wasn't yet the Zman for Kriyashma. Because you also remember, according to what we haven't spoken about Zmanim yet, but according to at least one opinion that we saw in the Gemara, when is Zman Kriyashma? Right before Netzachama, right before sunrise, when is Zman Tefillin? Zman Tefillin could even put on Tefillin earlier. So we think Gemara is suggesting that really Rav, under normal circumstances, would go ahead and say Shema first. But where Rabbi Chiya saw him, that's where it wasn't yet the Zman for Shema. That's why he put on his Tefillin first. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Imkein, my Asado Seder Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. If that's the case, then why did Rav Chiya bar Ashi have to tell us anything? If it wasn't yet the time for Shema, then okay, it makes sense that Rav was first putting on his tefillin, and then afterwards would say Shema. So the Gemara says, no. La'afuki miman da'amar le'mishna ein tzarech levarech kamash malon, da'af le'mishna nami tzarech levarech. So the Gemara says, no, because you don't understand. Rav Chiya bar Ashi's testimony about what he saw in Rav Shir, the truth is, was not important for Tefillin. What was it important? It was important for Birchas HaTorah. Because, well, say, remember we saw 2 days ago, that there's a machlokes, what do you have to say Birchas HaTorah for? So some say it's only for Chumash. So the Rav Chiya bar Ashi's statement was important for us to teach us what was Rav teaching? Rav was teaching Mishnah. And yet, what did Rav do before he started teaching Mishnah? He said Birchas HaTorah. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi's testimony was important to teach us that you see that you even say Birchas HaTorah for Mishnah. Fine. That's very nice. But what do we do with these conflicting accounts of Rav? The Gemara says, Mikom Makom Kashi L'Rav. We still have a contradiction in practices. Right in the first case, Rav was observed first saying Shema, then putting on Tefillin. But Rav Chiya bar Ashi was observed putting on Tefillin and then saying Shema, to which the Gemara is something so fascinating. So the Gemara says, Shlucha Hu Da'avis. The Gemara says, you're making too big of a deal about this. What ended up happening in the first case is that what? Rav had an unreliable shamus, right? Rav had an unreliable shaliach. What happened, Rashi says? Shluchu da'avis, hashliach kilkel. It was the shliach who made a mistake. She'icher lahavi lo tefillin me'ikara. So his shamus, his attendant, was late in bringing him his tefillin. V'yigiyazman kriyashma. The time for kriyashma came. V'huskak likros kedesh lo yavor hazman. V'chimate shlucha de tefillin anechinu. So what happened in the first case, says the Gemara? The shaliach overslept. So Rav's sitting there waiting for his tefillin. The Zman of Kriyat Shema is approaching. He can't Mishma. So what does he do? He says Shema. And then what happened after he said Shema? Who showed up? the shaliach with his tefillin. At that point in time, he put on his tefillin, and then he davened Shmona Esrei afterwards. See, also, you have to appreciate what's happening over here. In the times of the Gemara, and even later on, so much of halacha was gleaned from Talmidim observing their Rebbe. It's not like today, where you don't really, I mean, the truth is, people could even go with that. You could become a Talmid Chacham even without a Rebbe, right? I'm saying we have so much access to information, we don't have to learn by, we should, but we don't have to learn from behavioral example. In times of the Gemara, so much of halacha was observed. What is my Rebbe doing? So they're looking at Rav. They're looking at Rav. Oh, Rav just davened Kriyas Shema before he put on tefillin. It must be that this must be the halacha. So the Gemara goes through all these mental gymnastics trying to figure out what's happening. And the bottom line is, guys, don't get so excited. Right? The shaliach was late. Right? That's what happened. No. Rav's practice is to first put on tefillin. To first put on tefillin and then ultimately go ahead and say Shema. That one day, and Rav said, just so you see, it also helps us appreciate the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Chachomim hizaharu b'divreichem. Right? It's so important for Chachamim. You know, we're all role models to someone else. So you see from here the power of being a role model. That when you are a role model, people look to you. So lest you think that you can have that day where you're a little bit off, you can't be off if you're a role model. Because at the end of the day, you never know when eyes are on you and what example people will take from your behavior. But bottom line, I will say, for our purposes, is the episode where they observed Rav on the one day saying Shema before putting on tefillin was the outlier, right? That was the exception because the shaliach got a little messed up in his scheduling, but Rav will subscribe to the normal circumstances. Rabbi Yoshua and Karcha will agree that the normal order of the morning is first tefillin, then Shema, and then Shmona Esrei. Now, we haven't discussed why it's important to have Shema, to have tefillin before Shema. Well, let me ask you to discuss that tomorrow.